Hey everybody, welcome to Back Issues, where if the median age here gets any higher, we're going to have to start calling ourselves prostate issues. So hey. Yeah, so yeah, I'm your host Jason, with me today is Dick.
Hey.
Jamie.
Hey.
And our special guest, the most British bastard we know, Scrump.
I wrote the prostate joke.
He really did.
All right, this week's episode, Gotham by Gaslight, the first Elseworlds story in DC. So what we got here is the Jack the Ripper decides to jump ship and come over to the U.S. and start doing his deal in Gotham. And Batman decides he wants to have nothing of it and figures out who the killer is after getting framed for it himself. As Bruce Wayne. So yeah, it's a short comic, first off. But it doesn't cement Bruce as a master detective, but it's another one of those stories that adds to the Batman is the master detective, like Sherlock Holmes level. Let's see, we've got for story, we have Brian Augustin. Pencils, we have one of my favorites, Mike Mignola. But sadly, the anchor, P. Craig Russell, does not do a very good job making Mignola's artwork shine as much as it usually does. And I just realized, after doing Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom, that's two Mike Mignolas in a row. Can you tell I have, a favorite art style?
Oh, yeah.
Well, his art style is very good. I did enjoy the art style of this comic.
I didn't hate the inking, but I think it could have been better if you made it a little bit darker. I think it was a little bit too bright for a story like that one.
I felt like the colors were just wrong and everything felt very washed out. I didn't feel like it was inked as well as it could have been. The color choices were a little poor in some panels, and I just feel like there wasn't enough detail paid attention on that necessarily. It didn't have the sort of visual style I was kind of hoping from this.
What are the other comics he's penciled, by the way? I may have read some of them, because you are right. Now that you pointed it out, the inking and the coloring is a bit weird. It does feel very flat. All the skin tones look very much the same. There's very little differentiation between some of the backgrounds as well. Like, everything's kind of beige and yellow in this. I like the art style, but you're right, the coloring does leave something a bit lacking.
If you want to check out his best stuff, there's always Hellboy, which is, some of the greatest art from Mignola. And he does, his own writing for it too.
Oh, I have read some Hellboy, so yeah, I kind of get where you're coming from now. So it does pop a lot better in that.
Yeah, it's a very striking style, and I think the inking and the color choices just kind of drug it down in this issue. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool things this toys with Batman as a character. Like I was saying, we all heard, Batman is the master detective. And so they gave him a real-life story that no one was ever able to solve. No one knows who Jack the Ripper really was.
I mean, I don't think they ever will. I mean, that happened in the Victorian era. It's considered the greatest mystery of the Victorian era, and I don't think we'll ever know. I mean, this is a subject that writers love to touch on because it's such an enthralling mystery of who this guy was. And I don't think you're ever going to solve it.
Well, look at Alan Moore's From Hell, where he tries to solve it as well. Very good comic, but same time drawing out of that same mystery, and there is no answer.
What I really like about this story specifically is that it literally takes Batman, the greatest detective known to man, and puts him up against an impossible to solve mystery, something that they're never going to solve ever in the history of ever. And it's one of those, what happens when you put an unstoppable force and it runs into an immovable object kind of a situation almost.
Well, one of the things I loved about this was the writing. Like, I thought the universe they created was very plausible. I'd love to see a lot more of this world. I did actually go beyond my remit and read a little bit of the sequel to this, but anyway, I don't. It wasn't as serious, but I'd love to see more of this whole kind of Victorian Batman thing, you know, written by the same people, because I thought it was done really well. It could have been really cheesy and really hello there, Gavna, oh, Gaslight Gotham, but no, it just feels like a very nicely fleshed out world, and it feels like Batman fits into it very naturally.
And what I really liked is how you took this, it was such a almost perfect transposition, really. I mean, you took the, you see touches of the Batman mythos everywhere. You get the wanted poster of the guy who would be Joker. You have Commissioner Gordon, of course, and Harvey Dent, and just all the, and of course, and Alfred, and of course, there's really all the people that you would expect in a Batman universe, you know, at least at the very barest bones of when he began. When Batman began back in the 40s or 30s.
And, like, there's so much about this comic to love. Like, from, like, Scrump was saying, all the little cameos and having them all in this world that just makes sense and feels alive.
Oh, sorry. Again, it's to do with the comic's very brief. It's only what, like 47 pages?
Not even.
It's mid-40s page-wise. Yet they managed to have quite a satisfying arc. They skim over a lot of stuff. I think the writing's quite well. The comic itself is quite sparse. It manages to do quite a lot in its brief span, and it's quite amazing they managed to fit this story in without it feeling. It does feel brief. But it's only because it's so well done you want more of it. It doesn't feel incomplete in any way. I like the way that they kind of 19th centuryized the Batman costume as well. Like, you don't see much of it, but what you do see feels not really steampunk, but it feels very modern interpretation of Victorian.
What I really liked also about this whole comic and everything, and the whole idea of taking Batman and putting him into Victorian Gotham, Victorian era Gotham, is that you take this idea of a hero and you show that the concept of a superhero, or what you have, or your preconceived notions of a hero, can be applied anywhere in time, and that the concept of a hero is timeless. It doesn't matter when that story is set. That story has a significance because it's a story about a hero overcoming something, you know?
Well, yeah, the archetype of the hero has pretty much been around for all human history.
I think Batman actually fits very, very nicely into the 19th century more than a lot of other time periods. It's kind of Batman's thing is going after the whole dirt and grime. And obviously Victorian era, you know, cities are very much these quite lawless, quite dirty, quite dark and almost film noir type places. It's a very natural setting. I think they chose a very good setting for Batman. And I also think that Bruce Wayne himself is kind of, he feels like a Victorian industrialist figure. He's this, you know, this great industrialist, the likes of which we don't really see anymore. He's, you know, he sits in drawing rooms, he has big fires, he has a butler. He kind of feels like an archetype of the past. And in, you know, Gotham by Gaslight, Bruce Wayne actually surprisingly feels like a very modern man. It's a nice little twist on kind of the, I suppose, the age of the Batman and Bruce Wayne character.
But, I think the reason why that's something like that works so well is because Batman has his roots in such stories. As you know, or maybe not know, Batman was inspired by Zorro. Who in turn was inspired by other similar characters like Robin Hood and Scarlet Pimpernel. It's a very timeless idea, and it really just something that you could translate into just about any time, really.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've been having stories like this since the dawn of mankind. It's just how you're going to twist it to make it new, you know?
Can I just add that that Batman was actually largely inspired by The Shadow? There's some controversy over the whole Zorro thing, but that's not for this episode.
Yeah. I think that is also true. I think probably he took a lot. Like I said, it's a very common. Well, I'm not common, but it's very a strong theme, and you know the nobleman and his what I mean, right? I'm sorry.
Universal.
Yeah, it's universal. It's timeless. It translates well. You know, you could take a look at any character throughout history. Like, take Don Quixote. That's another one that kind of plays. It's probably not a direct influence, but, you know.
Well, one thing, what did you guys think of the kind of the reveal? Are we going to go into spoilers here? Or what?
Oh, yeah. We're full spoilers.
Oh, full spoilers. So what do you guys think of the reveal of who it was? I mean, I know I'm not alone in thinking that it was quite predictable, but I suppose I didn't really care. But what are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I think that was probably my one major complaint, is that it seems fairly obvious when you meet Jacob that he's gonna be the killer, and it's I don't know why I don't think they tried to make it that obvious. I think it just happened. I don't know.
It had to be obvious. It was a short form comic. I mean, you can't go back and say how Bruce found out, you know, through all these meticulous steps in 40 some odd pages. You had to have it be someone's like, it's going to be a quick twist. It's going to make sense.
I suppose they did kind of try and throw you off the trail with the whole guy who comes over from Europe with his doctor. Because if you know anything about the Jack the Ripper theories, they do think that he may have been the Queen's physician. So I don't know. There was a little bit of a, like, instantly when I saw his uncle, I thought Jack the Ripper. It's gonna be a betrayal story. It's gonna go around. But like I said, I didn't really care. I hate stories that try and be cleverer than you, that don't give you enough information to put the puzzle together yourself. Who kind of just kind of go, I got you by misleading the audience. And that wasn't really the point of this story. I think the point of the story really was, like we said, the universe and, you know, transporting Batman to this other place, which, you know, just works so well.
Well, yeah, they did try to make it not so obvious. I mean, they wanted the that the politician, you think the politician was the Ripper, but I just like a good twist. I think anybody like anybody else, and I understand what you guys are saying about how it's a short form and doesn't need to be, and it's more of I don't want to say origin story, but sort of a transference to a different time period. Yeah, I get that. It just, I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but you know, it does not enough to ruin the experience.
I think the whole reveal of the villain and everything, it all it does is set it up. Like everybody said right now, it's literally, it's there to set up the universe and everything and show you where Batman could have been, where he fits in, where, like, you know, this sort of, this character can fit into a universe really well and rather easily, that, you know, almost like he was made for it is the whole point of it. It's not so much the villain or, you know, the fact that it's Jack the Ripper. It's really just showing that you can take these heroes and put them into different settings in a way that works, and it kind of shows this off. You know, I don't think I'm conveying what I'm trying to say very well.
Well, no, I think it was enough to follow you, at least. Maybe not all the way there.
But I get what he's saying. Yeah, like I said, the major focus is on Batman, the transference into a different set, slightly different setting, and yeah, it works. The whole thing works, and yeah, you're right. It's a short form. It doesn't need to be, Arthur Conan Doyle-y, I guess.
Well, I have a question for you, Jason. I did a little bit of background research on the comic just because, like, I hadn't read this before the show. I read this before the show, and I'm glad I did. Thanks for introducing me to this because I really enjoyed it. But something that puzzled me is this is a comic from 1989. Was this comic a financial success? Or what's puzzling me is why didn't they return to this universe more? I know they had one sequel, which is Master of the Future, which I know you've not read. That has a very different tone to this, actually. It's surprising. But This seems like something that could have been very rich and a very good way to revitalize the Batman character and kind of not reboot him, but, you know, kind of go back to the basics of his story in a way that's nice and high quality, really.
You mind if I take a shot in the dark at this? 1989 was the year the Tim Burton's Batman film hit it extremely big at the box office. I think at that point, you know, they wanted to give the fans, all these newfound fans, more of what was on the table, more of this dark, gritty Batman that they probably weren't used to at that point, because you know, before, all you had really was the either for the cartoons or from the 60s Batman, which is very campy. So I think I don't know, this is my estimation, but I think they wanted to put more of that and not kind of experiment too much beyond what was obviously working.
But yeah, Scrum, to answer what you're asking, the way I'm going to put it is, it was previous to Tim Burton's Batman, because Gotham by Gaslight came out in February, and I forget when the movie came out. But it was
June,
actually. Yeah, so it was definitely, you know, in the hype for Batman. But it doesn't seem to, you know, have said it sold much. You know, it probably sold decently enough, considering it was DC in the late 80s. They were still popular. But it has been named several times to various lists of, like, greatest alternate reality Batman stories, or, you know, greatest Batman graphic novels. Like, IGN had a list of 25 of them back when, and I know Gotham by Gaslight was on there. So it may not have been notable enough in selling figures for me to find, but it has been notable enough in its, you know, effect on the market, or on the you know, on, well, comics.
I want to think in that sense is, yeah, it did come out before the movie, and probably sold well in terms of that point. Like I said, I think when the movie made this massive splash, I think that kind of changed a lot of direction in the comic book industry, because kind of the 1-2 punch of RoboCop and Batman was really what set off the whole what a lot of people jokingly call the 90s dark era of comics, where everything just goes very, very gritty and very dark. And I think that's I think that meant alternate, like I said, I think that meant to experimental drop by the wayside. And I don't think it would have affected the sale of this, but I think it would have definitely affected the idea of doing more like it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, this is very much pre-Dark Age from reading it. It's not too... It doesn't feel edgy. It doesn't feel like it's trying too hard. It still manages to have the kind of film noir grittiness of Batman without some of the cringiness that did come in the 90s. You are right about that. Maybe it was just a victim of the Dark Age. Like, who knows? I don't know. I'd like more of this. It's one of those comics, really, because it is so short that leaves you wanting a lot more.
Yeah,
I definitely agree.
Oh, by the way, Scrump, we were wrong. It's 52 pages. It was released as a 52-page one-shot.
All right, so it's a... Well, still, that's pretty short.
Yeah, 52 pages being, you know, the industry standard for premium presentation. You know, 32 is standard for normal comic books. 52 is like prestige kind of thing. They only give them to one shots and, you know, special issues and shit like that. Which is funny considering the sequel is actually longer. I'm reading.
Yes, it is.
It's like 68 pages. I don't know. I might actually give it a read just because I did like Gotham by Gaslight. Like, and I will admit, until we decided to record this episode, I'd never read it. I'm not a very big Batman fan.
Well, that's going to kind of cancel out one of my next questions, which is going to be, I don't know, do you feel like the DC of today would be capable of making something like this?
Fuck no. DC today is too caught up in trying to work the kinks out of their own continuity that they've fucked up over the past years on their own. They don't have any thoughts towards, hey, let's give an alternate take. And if they do, it's like, oh, let's give an alternate take an entire series. And with the whole pre-New 52, they've not said if, you know, Elseworlds is going to keep going other than as a plot point. You know what I mean?
I gotta agree with you. DC probably, you know, more than any comic book company right now, has its head so far up its ass. You know, it's pretty sad. And I think you could smell DC. I'll be surprised if they survive the decade, to be honest, the way they're going right now, because they are really going in the toilet. And you know, I think when the New 52 came out and everyone said, why are you doing this? You know, there was a whole notion of the new 52 hit of like, why? Especially considering that this was right after some of the big things like Blackest Night just happened in the continuity, and people were like, well, you can't go anywhere from here. You got to start everything over. Why? It doesn't make any sense. And I think that was just, you know, that's the point where DC just started into free fall, and now I think right now you're seeing they're just about ready to crash and burn completely.
Well, I do watch the show. I am a fan of the show, and what I have noticed it is quite Marvel centric. This is one of the few instances where you ventured into kind of DC territory, and that seems to be for a reason. Like, I've tried to read some modern DC comics and been left very wanting. I mean, modern DC is the same DC that gave us the Change the Cover controversy that kind of, as time has gone on, seems to have been deliberately manufactured by them. It's, I don't know. I'm not someone who's an expert on DC, but I kind of had a sneaking suspicion what your answer would be from seeing the general shit show.
Well, I think... really, there was a lot of stuff you could touch on in terms of DC. I just think we just haven't gotten around to it yet. But I think I want to think that, you know, there's more big events that happen in Marvel than tend to happen in DC. What you have when the DC, you have in terms of really, really large scale events, the only one that immediately jumps to my mind is the death of Superman. I just don't think they do things that are as notable. Maybe that's because I don't know. It also because Marvel seems much, much more character driven than DC, in a lot of ways. Or DC, it's kind of kind of world driven. I think there's a different approach there, but I'm not sure. You know, it's worth looking into, I guess.
I'll answer this as the guy that assembles the episodes and the episode list and everything. I don't like DC. Like, flat out. DC has become a shell of their former self. And I'll mine old DC storylines or Vertigo stuff. But all in all, I'd much rather do Marvel.
Yeah, I kind of see that as kind of an outsider. It's a shame because the level of quality here is very high, and it seems like such a waste they can't produce this kind of stuff anymore. I mean, I don't know. It's sad. It's kind of sad what's happened to the Batman character. It's sad what's happened to DC in general. I wish they were capable of making more of this. It's good shit. Would be my final assessment of the comic. I don't know, anyone out there who's listening, I'd recommend you track this down and read it in whatever format you can, because if you have even just a passing interest in Batman, or just a passing interest in comic books, it's not going to take up much of your time. I have trouble navigating comic books. I've read a lot of shit, and it's kind of put me off, and... This makes me sad that, you know, I can't read more of a series of this.
Well, you know, you have to be careful because Marvel is also making a lot of mistakes right now. But, you know, I think it does kind of show why we tend to reach backwards, because, you know, what we're looking at going forward isn't that great. But on that point, you know, I would like to, you know, maybe we get to point somewhere. I love to go into the Lanternverse, or maybe the Flash mythos at some point, if we feel like it. I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's definitely stuff I want to do that is DC, but I will definitely say I have a much greater love for Marvel.
Well, you know, we just did Judas Contract a few weeks ago, and one thing I want to do, I think we should definitely do something on Blackest Night, because a good tie into that is there's a point where Terra comes back as a zombie Lantern and tries to kill Beast Boy, and you don't know whether she's trying to kill him or screw him. It's pretty, I can't help it, I'm weird.
Well, going back to the actual comic, another thing I really enjoyed as well was the action is very well done in this. It's very nicely framed. There's a lot of good shots of Batman in silhouette, clothed in darkness. It's a really nice kind of classic what you think of when you think of Batman in comics.
Well, yeah, that's what you get with Mike Mignola. He's got such a great view of shadows and how characters use the darkness around them and how it changes what the viewer is able to see. He knows what he's doing with it, and he's always been very good at it. That's why I've always, that's like, since I first read Hellboy, I've been in love with his art.
Yeah, that's what I was, that's what I really noticed with this. It's, you're right, it's, the only thing that does let it down is the inking, but overall, this is a very well-drawn, very well-conceived comic.
And the writing is good, which is
what, the writing is excellent.
You, for Batman, you have to have good writing.
I would say for any comic, you really need to have good writing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, for more than most characters, Batman, you got to have top-notch writing, or he comes across really bad.
Well, I say even if the writing is cheesy, it needs to hook you in some way. I mean, you could do cheesy, and I mean, look at The Flash. The Flash is pretty much all cheese. Ham and cheese.
Yeah, and it works for Flash, but Batman, you gotta have someone with some level of intelligence, not just one of these random assholes like Marvel picks up, who, you know, decide to turn Squirrel Girl into a feminist icon.
Another element is that they kind of, they redid and fleshed out the Bruce Wayne Death of Parents backstory. In that they kind of, as, along with him catching Jack the Ripper, they also gave him a resolution to that story. It all came back very neatly. Like I said, a lot happens in a very small number of pages here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing Batman's always kind of been missing. Like, every time they change continuity, they change part of that the Batman story. Like, original Gold Age, he eventually did meet the person who killed his parents. Then Silver Age, he didn't. Then, you know, they keep going back and forth on that. Even when they do have them meet up, there's never a resolution like there was in Gotham by Gaslight.
And, you know, I think, you know, going back to what you said about earlier about DC having, you know, DC having problems with continuity is not hardly a new thing. I mean, they you know, I'm pretty sure they try to retcon when they go to the bathroom and it comes out wrong. But, you know, it's, maybe that is why we prefer Marvel a little bit more. Marvel tends to be a lot more straightforward with this continuity. You know, Clone Saga, you know, aside, but, you know.
Well, there is, well, one of the problems I've had with the Batman character in the comics has been that the continual cock tease of the people who killed his parents, or the person who killed his parents, hanging over it. This does away with that very neatly. I think it's a very bold move to remove that crutch as fast as it does. I don't know, it feels like something that needs to happen within the first arc of Batman. Otherwise, he kind of feels very unresolved as a character. I guess it's kind of a thing in comics in general, especially DC comics that I've read in, that they feel very drawn out. And you get very little in terms of conclusion because they want to keep the status quo of the universe They don't want to resolve any of the issues of the character, which in turn makes the character a lot less interesting.
And that doesn't really make any sense. Just because he figures out who killed his parents, that doesn't mean he has to completely lose his drive or his need to correct wrongs. It's really a nonsensical point of view on DC's part to keep him in the dark for just how long has it been since Batman debuted? Like, God, it'll be 80 years next year, won't it?
Well, in my mind, the point of Batman isn't that he's purely motivated by finding whoever killed his parents. I think that's a very one-dimensional, simplified character. I think that, again, with the end of this comic, I think he realizes that he isn't purely motivated by that. He's motivated by trying to do good to Gotham and trying to help the city. That's another thing I liked about the animated series as well, in that Gotham is very much a character in this. It's very much a comic that's about the city as well as Batman and his relationship with the city. And at its best, that's what Batman should be. It's kind of his philanthropy to the city at night as well as during the day. It's one of the more interesting sides of Batman.
And that's really one of the most interesting things about Batman. He has really technically given himself an impossible task to make sure no one ever has to suffer through his tragedies again. But there's no possible way. Even one man as wealthy and as well trained as Batman is ever going to wipe out the base of crime and murder in the world, let alone the entire universe. But I think it really, just because he solves a murder, it doesn't mean that aspect of him has to go away. This is Batman who would go the extra mile and often does to stop just about any bad thing happening.
And I think you kind of touched on something. How he sets an impossible task for himself, and let's go there, the entire Batman family, which 6 to 8 people, and they're still trying to wipe out crime in an entire city. I don't think that's how you have to look at it. I think you have to see them as the watchers on the wall. You know what I mean? They're not trying to eliminate all of it. They're trying to be somebody that people know is there so they don't want to do it. They want to be the cautionary tale. They're as much about fear as they are action.
Oh, well, yeah, that's definitely true. Or why else was Sinestro trying to give him a yellow ring so many times? Batman is literally, you know, the inspiration of fear. It's like, you know, if you come to my city and you try to commit crime, beware of the bat. Beware.
Yeah, and, you know, if not the bat, you know, then, oh, let's see, the Robin, the other bat, the other bat, now Wayne. Clayface.
Huntress.
The other bat, the other bat.
Yeah. Right. Red Hood, briefly.
Too many bats on the dance floor. Too many
bats. Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, the Batman family has ballooned.
And that's, that is interesting. I would like to see, I know they hint at Joker in this, I would like to see other characters from the Batman universe kind of in this time period. Like, I don't know, it'd be interesting to have some members of the Batman family, Robin. I'd like to see how they did Robin, because, again, he's almost like a 19th century character as well.
And there are plenty of characters that would lend themselves to that time period. Joker, obviously, Riddler would have been great in that time period. It's a perfect time period for him to be in because there's not so many easy ways to solve clues in the Victorian era.
You can't really just Google it.
Yeah, you can't just Google it. Two-Face would be perfect. Easily one could get disfigured in that era, and probably a disfigurement like that would be even more shocking in that age than it would in this.
DC did actually revisit Earth 19, which is the designation for the reality of Gotham by Gaslight, during Countdown. And you did get to see a couple other characters, but it wasn't like a lot of the deep cuts from the Batman stories that you want to see.
That's kind of disappointing, then. I understand that they do have this universe and would revisit it. So this is designated Earth 19, then, in their multiverse theory?
In the old version. I don't know what it is now.
Continuity.
Continuity. Yeah, but you know that's it is kind of sad. Because Grandpa's a point. This is a perfect, setting to tell a Batman story, and I can think of a whole bunch of more criminals you could work with in that area. And he wasn't even really, here's one that would really work well. How about Ventriloquist?
Oh, I think you can go even further than that. Pulling some real deep cuts from DC. Say pull out Etrigan.
Oh my God! Holy shit! Yeah, now you're really talking. That's something that's going to work in the 19th century, especially considering how much the Christian world it just stands over, and a demon would just flip everyone out. Yeah.
Well, again, it's got our imaginations going, and that's really the sign of a good story, in that we're kind of, the universe is so well set up, we can populate it ourselves, and rattle off characters and kind of fan stuff we'd love to see in the universe. I think that's a real sign of how well it was set up.
It's definitely a very fertile ground that DC could really use.
Well, I think one of the reasons it works so well, the Batman did start in the 1930s, and that was Depression era United States, which wasn't that far removed from the Victorian era, and I think in some ways that Batman comes a little less plausible maybe not. It just seems like. Like a mass vigilante becomes a little more set to an older time period, if you know what I mean. It's
not really that. I think some of the tropes of Batman, like I said earlier, are kind of, they feel a lot more rooted in the 20th century than the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want like fucking iPhone Batman, like they did with Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man 2, like fucking millennial. Yeah. Humble brag Batman, that'd be fucking intolerable. But we kind of touched on another subject here, in that Batman's quite an old character, and some of his tropes and some of his origins are quite old. So I don't know. It might be interesting to see the reverse of this and see a more updated. I don't know. It just feels like there's so much more they could do with Batman.
Well, we already saw they did a futuristic Batman, and that worked. But Batman Beyond.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. And one other thing is, I think actually that kind of works with Spider-Man, because Spider-Man has always been an obnoxious teenager. Although they try to not make him not an obnoxious teenager, Joe Quesada pulled the plug on the idea, but it's, I don't know. I like to see a character mature. I think most people do.
Now, back to your whole idea about Batman fitting in better in Victorian era, there's something I want you to think about. Think about Victorian era plays and Victorian era dramaticism. Batman is a character that bleeds that kind of feel, which is why I think he works so well. He feels like a Victorian era character, almost like a play character.
He does. He's very theatrical, and he's deliberately very theatrical. That's part of the character, is the theater of the character. And that's something, again, very rooted in the Victorian age, is the idea of, the man is the symbol. The imagery, iconography has a lot more power for the Victorian age as well. So again, someone running around the city as a vigilante, beating people up, would have a lot more impact back then. People are a lot more ruled by superstition. I really liked it when they thought he was a vampire at first. They called him a Nosferatu, which I thought was a nice touch.
And I think, like I said, Batman is a character very rooted in the hero's journey. And very rooted in classic characters from Robin Hood to Zorro. So, it really does work better in a time of superstition. But I think we've seen that Batman can work as well in futuristic periods as well as modern. So it's not a character that's overly limited to setting.
Yeah, and Batman, theatrical, Victorian era dramatic feel, which... translated decently into the original incarnation, but some of it seems to be losing appeal. Batman feels less about fear and more about the detective now, which I kind of miss.
It's difficult to do it without moving into 90s Edgelord Batman. I don't want to get too far back into Frank Miller Batman.
I want to disagree there. I don't think that an Edge comic necessarily a bad thing. I just think the reason it didn't work so well in the 90s is because it was overdone. And I think if you take a character with a lot of edge on it, you can... Well, something like Punisher. Punisher is nothing but edge. And look how successful that was.
Yeah, Punisher's still got an ongoing right now.
Well, it's not... You're right, it's how they handle the character. You can do... Like, I don't think there's such a thing as a bad story, just a bungled story. You can make any character, within reason, have a universe that he works in, or they work in. And that's... Yeah, you're right, it's kind of an aspect of Batman's character that's explored here in Gotham and Gaslight that's underexplored with modern Batman is really the fear aspect of Batman and the symbolism of Batman. Here it's very strong.
Yeah, and whereas in modern day it feels like the fear of the bat is more, oh shit, we're going to get beat up, but we're still going to do it anyway because who cares? He'll never find us until he follows this convoluted set of clues.
And I think the reason, now that I think about why it doesn't work so well, is because in the beginning of Batman, he was a vigilante and he was wanted by the police. They touched on this in the Gotham series. Actually, they didn't touch it. It was a major point. Point of series with the shit. But Batman. One of the reasons is the public doesn't know what to make of Batman. Is he a hero? Is he a villain? Is he just crazy? It leaves a lot to be doubted. In modern times, you have pretty much the aspect, even in the universe, of Batman being a hero. Of Batman being kind of the watcher of the night, as you alluded to earlier, and it takes away some of the fear potential, I guess. And I guess that when you get into that, they have to make him out. They have to push the detective angle because I think that just makes the character more interesting if you can't really push the fear angle.
Well, within this comic as well, the public and the Gotham's reaction to Batman feels very natural. It kind of feels like what a Victorian era city would do in reaction to someone running around in a bat costume. It's nothing here feels too out of place, too convoluted, or doesn't feel like it doesn't understand the time period, which, if you look at most comic books, is actually pretty rare.
And not only that, but overall, it just feels like they took a lot of care and detail to making sure that everything that they were going to do in this comic really fit in the time period well. They made sure that everything that they took artistically and style-wise with this comic didn't feel like it was forced into it. They didn't take this Batman character and force it into it. It was very easy to go ahead and just insert him and have it work very, very easily, actually.
Well, that's a really good point, because they did... I think part of the biggest reason why this worked is because they obviously did put a lot of care and time into making the translation to a Victorian era, how the news would spread, how reactions would go in the public, how court cases work. Railroadings were very a big thing in that era.
Well, another thing they also do, which I've just realized, is that they don't over steampunk it. Like, everything Victorian these days is just hammered with really, really terrible steampunk.
Yeah, steampunk is getting overused, much like Darkest and Edge got overused in the 90s. It's really kind of depressing, because steampunk really is a very interesting idea, but it's getting overused.
I like that this was actual Victorian Age, not fantasy, everything is steam-powered, but modern Victorian Age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's the kind of 1989 pre the whole steampunk explosion and people's almost obsession with all 19th century settings having to be kitsch and steampunk. It's kitsch. Mm-hmm. It feels very kitsch to me, just steampunk.
And just like in the 90s when dark and edgy became kitsch.
Yes.
And I think, this comic benefits by being older than the steampunk craze. Because I don't think Batman steampunk would work really well.
No, probably not. Well, they could get it to work. You know, if they applied the steampunk correctly. If they made, you know, because Batman is the kind of guy who is a brilliant engineer as well as an industrialist, has brilliant engineers working for him. If they applied it properly and didn't overdo it, like a lot of steampunk gets overdone, yeah, that could work.
Let me just say, I know you guys haven't read it, but the sequel, Master of the Future, Batman himself isn't steampunk, but the villain is very steampunk. And actually, it's not too bad. It kind of works. I don't know. You definitely feel the passage of time. Even the couple of years between the original and the sequel. But I don't know. That's another discussion for another day. That's kind of getting a bit ahead of myself. But it does go a little bit in that direction, but not too much in future. So I would say it does overall kind of work, but it doesn't turn into steampunk Batman. So,
which is good. I think keeping it true to the original Gotham by Gaslight was a wiser idea. But yeah, I'm definitely going to go out and get my hands on Master of the Future at some point. I need to read it.
I want to make one really quick point as far as a steampunk Batman would go. The thing is, you know, Batman could be steampunk. Maybe his villains could be some steampunk to agree. What has to not be steampunk is the universe around him. Because one of Batman's biggest edges is that he has that engineering, intelligence, inventor know-how. And that's what keeps him ahead of the game. It keeps him ahead of the villains, is that he has so many tools to rely on that most people do not. And if you give all those tools out to everybody, then having Batman just doesn't make any sense. Maybe that's one of the reasons why modern Batman is kind of falling behind. You know, all the edges he had back in the day, everybody has them now.
An interesting point is that the Gotham by Gaslight Batman isn't a gadget Batman. He's a very back-to-basics Batman. He doesn't have any of those things, which it's kind of interesting that the story works so well without that. But I don't know, sometimes that can be a crutch. Sometimes Batman can turn into Inspector Gadget and it gets a bit crap.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bat computer, the Bat car, the Bat the Bat dildo.
Fucking Bat credit card and Bat nipples.
Bat credit cards. Oh my god, the Bat credit card. Oh Jesus, don't leave home without it.
Yeah, I like the more back to the basics, you know. Two fists and a cowl, you know. It feels good.
Yep, a man and his wits and his fists. That's all he has. And that, he did a... What's amazing is it really just shows what the genius Batman is. He solved a crime that no one could solve, and he solved it in a jail cell.
There is very much something of Sherlock Holmes about this Batman. It's not too much. It doesn't feel too lifted, but there is definitely that element there, you know, with solving the greatest mystery of the Victorian age in a jail cell in a single, you know, in a single night.
Well, there you go. You know, Sherlock Holmes, another one of those heroes that fits I can't think of the name of what. It just fits what Batman is. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I finished, actually. It fits the archetype of that hero.
Archetype, right. Thank you. Oh, God, what's wrong with my brain, man?
Having a bit of a brain fart over there? It's fine.
Yeah.
But I think, in, you know, having Batman solve the greatest mystery ever kind of thing, they could have made it so much more complicated for the reader and, you know, kept, you know, facts out of our view and tried to obfuscate it, make it look like Batman's smarter than he is. But they balanced it by giving the reader a chance to say, hey, there's the killer. Which is really great. I mean, there was never a point where I was sitting there going, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, I think it, even though they did, even though there was one little piece of evidence, but that's all they needed to give keep away from us until the very correct moment. But even then, yeah, it was pretty, well, I'm not going to say completely obvious, but you suspected the guy from the very first time you saw him, you know, so.
It's more a victim of the small cast of characters within the comic and the length of the comic, in that instantly when, like, it's more of a guess than it is it basically shouting that it is him. You kind of predict it by what the arc of the story could be. And I don't know, it's kind of a, like I said, it's a balance. This is a very short comic. It's not a run of comics. It's just a one-shot, as we keep pointing out. Again, like I said, it is kind of a balance between pointing out your twist to your audience and not making your audience feel cheated and like the writer's trying to be too smart. And I think they did overall strike that right balance.
Yeah, I think it was well done. And like I said, I'm definitely going to pick up Master of the Future. But, like, my biggest takeaway on this is Batman is just as much a part of Gotham as the other way around. And I feel like this issue kind of nailed that. Gotham was alive, you know, as part of Batman, and Batman was, you know, part of Gotham. Which is, you know, one of the things you got to do to have a really well done Batman story.
Yep. Well, you know, it's like they say, you know, that Batman, that's his lady, the city of Gotham. You know, they put him with all these chicks throughout his history, but who does he always go back to? The city. That's his lady.
City of Gotham. City Ranger. Lonely as Batman. Together they cry. Wow. Sorry.
I don't ever wanna feel. Sorry, go ahead.
Like Bruce did that time.
Stop us, Jason, before we go.
I'm too busy laughing.
Take me to the cave I love.
Take the Batmobile.
Oh, geez. Now we're doing parodies in our podcasts.
It just goes to show how much we love this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we like it enough. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm not going to complain. At least it was funny. I mean, if it had been boring, I might have bitched.
But if it had been boring, you'd have just edited it out. You should just...
Well, I'm not going to be that much of a dick. But yeah, what's your final, your guys' final takeaway on this issue?
I thought it was amazing. I loved it. I want to see more of this style of Batman. I want to see more comics kind of start exploring different time periods now, because we're kind of getting tired of the current year, modern superhero type stuff. It's getting a little old.
My takeaway was that I just wish there was more of it. That's all, really. We've already exhaustively explained why it's good, how it's good. DC, please just get your shit together. It makes me sad. It makes me sad that you have this great universal character like Batman, who's been very well represented in the comics and on screen in the past, and you can't seem to do anything interesting with him.
Yeah, I think it really is just, you know, and it's a setting and an idea that it's just a shame that it never got explored more than just two installments. And, you know, it's something that just begs to be explored. And I feel bad DC never took that chance.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like a bit of a letdown that they had such fertile ground for further stories and just kind of let it fall to the wayside.
Well, they also had the perfect pairing of writer and artist as well. I mean, they could have... This is a very, you know, it's a very rare match to have something work this well, both writing and art-wise. It feels like it could have been more. It feels like it should have been more. And it just... Again, it makes me sad.
I can definitely agree. Well, I think that just about covers everything then. This has been Back Issues. Please listen to us on supernerdland.com, iTunes, and Google Play Podcasts. I've been Jason. With me tonight are Dick, Jamie, and Scrump. Hope you had a good one. We'll see you next time.
Excelsior!